This is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hi, Susan. And in just a few minutes, we'll be having several folks here to tell our listeners about this year's Scandinavia Day celebration at Story City this upcoming weekend.
And later in the program, we'll continue Memorial Week in an unusual way, or in unusual ways. But before we get started, we have a short summary of news stories from the area's local newspapers, including the Story City Herald.
Let's start with news from the Nevada Journal, which reported that a benefit will be held this coming Saturday, June 2nd, for Nevada teacher Heather Ludwig. Ludwig suffers from a rare blood disorder and needs a bone marrow transplant. The benefit will take place at Nevada High this Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. The Journal also reported that a Nesco High School graduate is going to play a big role in an upcoming feature film. 57-year-old Douglas Chumaland will play the part of Salvador Dali in the movie 116 MacDougall. It will be Chumaland's first role in a feature-length film. He previously has been the face of numerous advertising campaigns for men's clothing. The Journal also had a story about the Central Iowa Emergency Services Chaplaincy, a group that provides support to emergency responders to help them deal with the issues and challenges they face. It was formed in 2012 and serves Story and Marshall counties. In the Boone News Republican, word that fly bites are causing chicken deaths in central Iowa. The black fly, also known as buffalo gnats and turkey gnats, are commonly found near rivers and streams. Iowa State University's Boone County Extension said it had received reports that a single flock of 20 chickens lost 15 birds to the flies. ISU's Veterinary Diagnostic Lab said it has received two cases from Boone County, one from Dallas County and one from Ames. In humans, a bite from that fly usually causes only an itch. The News Republican also reported that a Boone man was sentenced to 30 years in prison last week for manufacturing meth in a county park. 47-year-old Frank Marshall Kenyon must serve a mandatory minimum of 6 years in prison. Also in the News Republican, word that veterans from the Boone County Honor Flight visited Madrid students last week to share their experience of serving in the military. And word that 18 Franklin Elementary School students recently won bicycles, courtesy of the Boone Mount Olive Mason Lodge. The students received the bikes for reaching certain reading goals. There was also word about plans for this past weekend's second annual Boone River Valley Festival. The festival had activities and events for all ages, with more than a dozen organizations focused on having fun outdoors. The News Republican also reported about plans for the annual Memorial Day ceremony, which took place Monday at Linwood Cemetery. That ceremony included a laying of wreaths, a color guard, and the playing of taps. In the Story City Herald, good news for lots of people. The antique carousel in Story City is now open for its 105th season. The old carousel, which is in North Park along the Skunk River, has something new this year, LED lights that illuminate it. The carousel used to go to county fairs and town celebrations. Its wooden figures are hand-carved from poplar and include 20 horses, 2 chickens, 2 pigs, 2 dogs, 2 chariots, and a whirling tub. A 1936 Wurlitzer military band organ provides calliope tunes. The Story City Antique Carousel will be open every day until August 15th. Also in the Herald, word that elementary school students learned about various jobs during career days this spring. 50 people in various professions visited the school and told the kids about their jobs. And the Herald also reported that Roland Story Agriculture Education students and FFA members have again undertaken the task of running a community garden, with the produce being donated to food pantries in Story City, Roland, and Ames. Last year, the garden provided nearly 12,000 pounds of produce. And that's a look at news from the pages of the Nevada Journal, the Boone News Republican, and the Story City Herald. I'm KHOI Civic Reporter Dennis Hart. I'll be back next Wednesday. Have a great week.
Well, here we go into our live segment here on our local talk show, and we've got Scandinavian Days coming up this coming weekend, a big, sometimes called Scandahoovian Days, where we honor the heritage of our Scandinavian background in Story City, and we're going to have Jay Wilson on from the Chamber Connection a little later, but right now, I have big-time showbiz people with me because we have every year a musical, a major musical presented at the historic Story Theater and Opera House, and this year it's Mary Poppins, the musical. And with me, we have some of the big stars from the show. Melissa Askloff, who is going to be Mary Poppins, Sam Barnes, and we're going to talk about his role in a minute, and Scott Johnson. Welcome all three of you folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So tell me, Mary Poppins is in production, and I know that this show might be a little different. You know, everyone has the movie in mind and what they've seen before, especially Julie Andrews and her rendition. So, Melissa, you are the heir apparent to Julie Andrews. Now, tell us how this show might differ a little bit from what everyone has seen on in the movies.
You know, it is just a touch bit darker than what the musical or movie would be.
Are they the same songs and all the stuff that we've been used to musically?
A fair amount of the same songs, which there are subtle differences in between each of them, and that can definitely throw me off during rehearsals because I'll have the soundtrack in my head from the film, but then I'll be like, no, I got to sing it this way for the show. Otherwise, other characters might not be able to sing their parts.
And Sam Barnes, you are... Now, Sam plays the lead very often in shows up in Story City. That's because he has a 28-inch waistline and is exceedingly handsome. Now, Sam, what is your
role this
year? I have
an idea that might come up again. Yeah. yes, my role in the show is... I'm Bert. Bert, the jack of all trades. Mary's counterpart. So that
and
is
so you have songs to sing too.
Oh yes, lots of singing, lots of dancing, lots of cleaning and sweeping to do. You know,
yeah, the chimney sweeps, right?
You got it. You got it.
And Scott, what's your role this year in the show?
I'm playing the bank chairman, and which is a much older part in the movie, but in the show, it's a smaller part and does a little bit more with interaction with the Banks family and Lars Skor and Nicole Gelliard. I always forget how to pronounce her last name. They're,
yes,
they're the Banks family. So,
well, how large is the cast in this show? We have kids too, don't we?
We have a couple. Yes, we have a couple kids, and the cast size is it's right around 26, 27.
So it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of choreography in this show too? A lot of dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how is that going in a hot, sweaty stage?
Hot and sweaty. Yes.
But Mary Poppins is a delightful show, and it's a lot of fun because basically you're talking about something that's so well known, and all the musicals we do up there in Story City are well known, and the audience comes with certain expectations and certain images, and you're saying already that this is quite somewhat different than Mary Poppins. You say it's darker in many ways. Are there musical numbers that were not part of that movie?
Yes.
Definitely the first one that comes to my mind is Playing the Game.
Now, refresh everyone on the plot. Mary Poppins is a governess, is that right? She comes in to make order in this rather affluent household, is that correct? And how many children are there?
Two of them.
Two. Now, one of them is a boy who actually has sung the national anthem down at Principal Park.
You've got that right.
And he can belt. He's sort of a little male Ethel Merman. He can belt out a song. I know him well because I do PA for baseball, and he sings the national anthem at the Roland Story baseball games very frequently. What kind of challenges have we had this year? Have we had? There's always some great stories associated with rehearsal and things that go wrong. Any funnies that have happened?
I think the heat has definitely been part of dealing with it this year. Last night, before the thunderstorms rolled through, it was really sticky in the theater. But thankfully, the thunderstorms kind of cleared out a lot of the heat, and we were able to get some fresh air moving in. Yeah, that's been the big one for me the last week.
It's definitely been a challenge for sure, but just a lot of fun. You know, working together is always great, and you get together with this great group of people and get to spend a lot of time getting to know each other and working on this this show. So it's just a blast, just a lot of fun.
Well, you know, been there, done that. You know, in 1998, right. I played Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady up there at Story City. And, of course, it's one of those shows where one actor owns that part. So you have to do Rex Harrison, you see. Teach Eliza to speak English properly like a lady in a flower shop.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't do that, you're in trouble.
Right.
But I remember the rehearsals and the heat and also the marvelous camaraderie of a cast that gets to know each other and becomes sort of a little family during that time. And, you know, just a couple of years later, we did The Music Man. Well, in that show, I played one of the salesmen on the train and one of the townspeople. And it was the same experience. Whether you're the lead or just some in the chorus, you're part of this marvelous family. And the first thing you find out in community theater is there's no star system. Everybody's in this together. And as I remember, the actors are also the stage hands. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, see, we had big... Very, very elaborate sets. We had to rent morning suits and tuxedos, all these big dresses. We were totally sold out, but barely broke even. It was such an expensive show. And people don't realize that when you do community theater, you pay an upfront royalty that's pretty high. Now, My Fair Lady came out in 59. We did it in 98. I think it was still $2,500 for the rights, you know. And so you start in the hole, because you've got to pay for this marvelous, I think that's fine, you know, that these folks should be reimbursed forever for their marvelous idea. But that's your upfront cost, but the sets, and all these expenses you just have to cover. Now, when you look at that marvelous theater up there, the Story City Opera House and Theater, which has really been run as a theater, as a movie theater in an unbroken chain from 1913. It's also a great performance area. There's an orchestra pit. When we did My Fair Lady, we had 15 people. And that's what I like, the talent that accumulates in a town, a small town. And we found out, and Susan and I have done this tour of community theater in Webster City and all the surrounding areas. It's the same. Marvelous musicians, people who can sing, just local talent that comes together on the set to do a musical. And, of course, that's what you're experiencing right now. So I envy you because of this marvelous family you're a part of right now and how that feels. And I also sympathize with the heat. This is an old theater without an adequate cooling system, and backstage with the lights and all that stuff, it's just almost intolerable. So, but the show is starting. Now, you might give us some times. We open this weekend, and what's the curtain time on the evening shows?
Yes, starting tomorrow night, and curtain is at 7 o'clock.
So we really start Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And Sunday's a matinee.
Sunday's a matinee, 1:30.
That's the one I'm going to. So okay. By that time, you'll have the show sharp and just tight.
Of course.
Yeah, we're going to have all the gears turned, and it's going to be
so I'm going there after you, you're off Broadway, then you're on Broadway for my show. How do you like the music? Is it fun?
Oh, the music is a blast. Yeah, you know, I mean, there are, you know, classics that most people are familiar with, but then there's, you know, some new ones that people haven't heard before that I think people really like too.
Yeah, how interesting. You know, music we haven't heard before.
Yeah, the Playing the Game piece that Melissa mentioned earlier is one of the new ones that has a little bit of a darker feel. It's set in the kids' nursery room, and the children have been mistreating their toys, and so Mary Poppins brings the toys to life, and they have a moment where they get to tell the children exactly how they feel about these sorts of things. And then another piece that's new is Brimstone and Treacle, which is the old nanny that Mr. Banks had as a child is brought back, and she has a bit of a competition with Mary Poppins. And it's just, we have these two fantastic sopranos. You've got Melissa and then Lisa Webb, who just go back and forth, and it's just a neat, neat piece.
Well, Lisa Webb's in the...
She
was the lead in Beauty and the Beast. And,
yes.
She's very capable vocally, and I'm sure you have an interesting interplay. Now, just like My Fair Lady, we had to do English accents. How's everyone doing with English accents?
Oh, I think we're doing quite well, if you ask me.
Well, you sound like a Cockney to me, boy. Hey, get me to the church on time. But, you know, I'm never critical of community theater because everybody's out there. And in My Fair Lady, some people got that right on. Others really struggled. But, you know, they were in there pitching, okay? And they were close. And I think that... That's the thing about community theater. Everybody is out there making it happen. And the audience, too, is not that critical. They're supportive. It's just like a warm fuzzy when you're out there. And your audience response is great. Mm-hmm. And ticket sales are going very well. I've heard that from the Chamber Connection. So yes. This is a show that everyone anticipates. And, Melissa, it's a family show, right? You could bring your kids.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, of course it is.
So there are no bad words or anything like that that's going to give a kid a nightmare? And
I mean, other than the toys coming to life.
Well, now that's creepy. If my toys came to life.
We've said that's the part that tends to be a little worrisome, but it's nothing. You know, kids will love it. It's just you don't expect that in Mary Poppins because we've all grown up with the movie version, which is – from what I understand, a bit of a departure from the books that they were originally based on. And from what I've heard, I haven't read them myself, but what I've heard is that the books are much darker than the movie was.
Really?
And that this musical is actually based on the movie version, but then draws back to some of that earlier stuff from the novels.
I didn't know that because, you know, whatever is popularized, whatever is most visible, is what Mary Poppins is to the average person. So they come in with these certain expectations. And what I really think is good about this, as you pointed out, Scott, is that these are going to be surprises. If it's not in Mary Poppins' original, then that's a surprise for everybody. Now, Mary Poppins flies in the show. Now, Melissa, are you wired to fly?
Or you know, there are some secrets. I'm not sure if I should give away.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. We don't know if Melissa's going to fly. Come to the Story Theater and find out. And I think if she had a crash landing, that would always be evident by the cast and playing. So things must be working out up there on the stage. Now, Mr. Barnes, how many shows have you done now at Judge Story? You've been very active recently, haven't you?
Yes, sir, I have. I was just thinking about this the other day. This is my eighth show with Judge Story.
Your eighth show?
Mm-hmm. Yep, since 2015. So, yeah, it's been a blast.
And you live in Ames, is that right?
I do, yes.
So how did you get involved with Judge Story?
Well, actually, one of the co-directors of the show this year, Julie Erickson, was a friend of mine. And she said, we were doing Little Shop of Horrors, and she said, hey, why don't you come down and audition? We'd love to have another person. And I joined right in and got bit by the bug, and here I am.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And Scott, how many shows have you done now?
I think this is my fourth with Judge Story.
You've done the children's theater.
Yeah, I've done this is my first summer musical, but I've done the children's theater. Both of my daughters have been in shows, but then I did when I lived in Minnesota, I did several shows with a company called Prairie Wind Players in Barrett, Minnesota, was where I started in community theater.
Well, now, Melissa, is this your debut with Judge Story?
For a summer program, yes. I would say in another life, I was a Munchkin in Wizard of Oz back when I was, oh gosh, I might have been 9 or 10.
So. And so it just started early for you, like Judy Garland, right? But the show is going to be Mary Poppins. It's going to be opening this Thursday. This is the wonderful old opera house and theater in Story City. It dates from 1913, and it's actually on the list of historic places, the National Historic Places. And so this is a place where you can go in and see something that hasn't changed much since at least the 1930s. And so it's a classic old theater, and what you're going to see is a live Broadway-type musical with wonderful, talented people, and people who have been rehearsing since when? March? When did you start?
Yeah, we started back in late March. Mm-hmm. Had auditions in March and then started shortly thereafter.
Now, they're doing performances at 7 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a matinee on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I understand you're doing a second weekend beyond Scandinavian Days. What are the production dates for that?
Yes, so June 9th and 10th, Saturday and Sunday. And those are, it'll be, of course, the Saturday show will be 7 p.m. And the Sunday matinee will be 1:30. That'll be our last show.
It'll be fun. And you know, there's a bittersweet moment when the curtain goes down on the last show, and you are going to miss these people. You're going to miss these people because they were so much a part of your life since March, and you've all worked on this marvelous project together. And that's what community theater is. A lot of work, a lot of rehearsal for a comparatively small number of performances. And so at the end, there's this nice cast party. And it's a family that you hope you'll see again. But you wonder if you will, some of the folks. And so you've had this marvelous alliance and working relationship, and then suddenly and quite abruptly it's over. And you're relieved, but you're also sad. And so I can tell by watching your reactions that you've had the same exact experience as I've had in terms of the whole idea of being in community theater, all mm-hmm. the rehearsal and working together. Mm-hmm. And everybody's on the same team, and there are no stars, and that'll be Mary Poppins here on this weekend coming up in Scandinavian Days, and it will be a blast. So, Melissa, Sam, and Scott, thank you for being our guests today. We'll see you on the boards tomorrow night, break a leg, and whatever else has to happen. But welcome to our studio today, and wow. Mary Poppins, part of Scandinavian Days at the Story City Community Opera House and Theater. 7 o'clock, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with a matinee at 2 on Sunday. Come up and watch all these great actors, singers, and choreography people doing Mary Poppins. And in honor of your wonderful efforts, let's play a little song from Mary Poppins. I think this is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails and tweaked and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word that saved me ache and nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
He traveled all around the world, and everywhere he went, he'd use his word, and all would say, "There goes a clever gent."
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word, and then they ask me after tea.
Woo! Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word, and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully, or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is, too.
Oh, here we are back on the air for talking about Scandinavian Days at Story City coming up this weekend. And we talked with all the cast members, or some of the cast members of Mary Poppins, the big Broadway show that's going to be opening Thursday night through Friday and Saturday with a matinee at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Curtain times Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7 o'clock, and matinee on Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. And we're going to talk further about this marvelous Scandinavian Days weekend, and we have Jay Wilson, who is the new director at the Story City Chamber Connection, and he's been the main coordinator and man about town putting together Scandinavian Days 2018. Jay, welcome to Local Talk.
Thanks, Paul.
Now, we have a big weekend starting Thursday night with Judge Story's production.
Yes.
But Friday is the first day, Friday, June 1st. And we have all kinds of things on Friday. I'm looking at the highlights here. We have bingo by the Lions Club. We have a ice cream social at Grace Church and all the food stands and the Carriage House. That's the museum in Story City, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and there's some great stuff to see there. I mean, there's so many things. You can almost see it in just one trip. You know,
actually, we have, what, three museums in Story City?
It's actually four.
Is it four?
There's four. Right?
There's a house from the early 20th century, and the Carriage House is built next nearby, and that's the main museum. And we have the Firefighters Association hot dog stand. One thing you really have in Scandinavian days is all kinds of local organizations who have food stands and other concessions. So I see that they're all present here again this year. And there's a sort of a carnival too, right, Jay? Is there a?
Yes, they're out of Missouri, and they'll have they have a lot of great rides they're bringing. They're bringing seven rides, so something for someone of all ages, whether you're, you know, young, toddler, or an adult, and you enjoy those carnival rides.
Oh yeah, you know, it's fun because you can't have an outing like this or an activity without some flavor of the traveling carnival and
the
marvelous rides. And there's also some food concessions there. And we should say that there's a mixture of local groups like the Lions Club and organizations like that that have special stands or food stands.
Oh, yep.
And then we have some professional people, too, or people who are professional concessionaires who bring in their food trucks. So
yes,
it's not just local people.
No, there's going to be some great food trucks there this year. And actually, the Story City EDC is putting on a barbecue cook-off at 2 o'clock on Saturday to see who's competition between some businesses in Story City to see who's the best barbecue smoker.
Is that right?
Yep.
That'll be no prisoners taken.
I suppose. Yeah, but I'm sure there's
some of those things, and these people are serious.
They are very serious.
And then there's Heritage Hall, and that's at the community center. And describe what that is, Jay. That's sort of a compendium of Norwegian and Scandinavian artwork and all kinds of things.
Yes, and food. There's a lot of taste testings you can get there. A lot of different kind of varieties of some Scandinavian food. So if you've not seen or tasted anything Scandinavian, I highly encourage going there to that to look around and try some different stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's marvelous, and you can buy things. There's rosemailing and all of these art forms that are for sale that are particular to the Scandinavian background. And I have to tell our radio audience something about a strange food called kumla, which is these balls of potato. It's hard to describe. Cooked in this broth for hours, and then
actually broth.
Ham. And so basically, it's this Norwegian confection. And we have drive-through kumla at St. Petri Lutheran Church. And as unlikely as it sounds, they sell out very quickly. Now, what time is the parade on Saturday, Jay?
The parade starts at 10. We have quite a lineup listed. I still had people in the office calling yesterday wanting to get in the parade, so we'll have a lot to see there.
And we have a beer garden at the South Park. Story City is blessed with a South and a North Park. And South Park, the Skunk River runs through that. In the North Park, there's the world-famous carousel that we have at Story City.
Yes, love the carousel. And it opened last weekend, so it's going to be open extended hours this coming weekend, Friday till 10 o'clock, just before the fireworks start, Saturday from 10 till 10.
So the fireworks on Friday night. And then Friday night is really the kickoff. Saturday all day and way into the evening.
Yes.
They are the main activities that we have for Scandinavian days. And you have the parade. You have all the Norwegian foods and confections. You have a Jeep show, I see, also.
The Jeep show, yes. That's always a good time. And I saw some of the Jeeps. We had a Touch a Truck event in Story City a couple weeks ago, and some of the Jeeps were there. So I'm excited to see even more of them this coming weekend.
Well, I think the main thing is that there's something for everybody, and it's a family program. Even the Broadway show at 7 o'clock is a family show, being Mary Poppins. So there's something for everybody at Story City of Scandinavian Days this coming weekend, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and especially the 2nd on Saturday. That's the main activity time, and they go all day from actually 7:30 is the Scandi Ski
5K
walk, yeah,
yep.
And run. Yep. So that starts off at 7:30. That's the first event.
That starts it all off.
And then you have all these bake sales from the churches, which is homemade, wonderful stuff that women from the church and maybe some of the guys, too, have baked. And so
that's true. I know a lot of guys that bake.
Oh, yeah.
Some amazing stuff because, trust me, that comes in the office all the time. I'm like, stop bringing me all this stuff.
Yeah,
I
right.
don't need it.
And there's a kiddie's tractor pull. There's also a dunk tank.
That's
a fundraiser for the Norse Force wrestling team.
Yep.
And you can throw these boys into the tank by hitting that little tab with your baseball. And that's always fun. And, of course, you have a beer garden in the South Park. You have all kinds of – well, you have a band also.
Yes, we have
South
a band
Park.
Actually Friday and Saturday night. The Saturday night one in South Park is exciting for me because this is the one that hasn't happened for a while. With all of our renovations in the South Park last year, it's so pretty along that river, like you said. There's a seating area that we have there with a fire pit. You can have a fire by the river. I'm just excited to see how everybody's going to be able to enjoy the great things we've done in the park there and enjoy some great music at the same time.
Oh, I love what's been done in the South Park.
Yeah.
That's really there's a whole new shelter area.
Yep.
And, of course, a lot of sidewalk for handicap access.
Yeah, it's so much better.
And so what you have is a beautiful river running through Story City where a lot of things are happening, the carousel, all the events in the South and North Park, the parade. What time is parade time? 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
On Saturday, and that's a big parade. It's a long parade.
It will be a long parade, I believe.
Yeah, there are bands and all kinds of music and candy being tossed to the children, I'm sure, and all that sort of thing. So it's your typical, wonderful summer festival at Story City this weekend. Scandinavian Days, observing the heritage of our community in Story City, which is largely Scandinavian, and it celebrates the culture, the food, all of the things associated with Scandinavia. So this is the big kickoff for the summer, one of the first festivals in surrounding area towns near Ames. And Scandinavian Days is really the kickoff. I think that's the earliest festival in
surrounding towns. It is one of the earliest festivals. We have numerous people call us actually, beginning year, wanting to get onto our festival because we're the first one on their list to get in their season. So,
well, I think it's marvelous. And Jay Wilson, welcome to our program here at Local Talk, and welcome also to your new position as director of the Chamber Connection in Story City.
Yep.
And we just know that Scandinavian Days will be a big hit, like it always is.
It will.
This is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 1st, 2nd, 3rd, Story City, Iowa, from the show of Mary Poppins show, plus all the activities during the day, the parade, all the wonderful Scandinavian traditions, and the world-famous carousel.
Yes.
Everyone's going to be there and enjoy. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thanks. That's Scandinavian Days coming up this weekend in Story City, and Jay Wilson was here talking with us about what's going to be happening. It starts on Thursday with the show at the Story City Opera House and Theater, and then moves on to activities Friday night and all day Saturday and part of Sunday. So it's a 3-day weekend at Story City, Scandinavian Days. And I think that's going to be something attended by many. I know that's very well attended, and parking is an issue sometimes, but don't be discouraged.
Nope.
Story City fills up fast, but there's still plenty of free parking.
Yes, right? And I believe we'll have a tram that'll help people get from one end of the town to the other just to get to the events you want to be at. So
that's right. So if you have any mobility problems, we have trams that can take you to one part of to another, and it's very handicap friendly in Story City.
Yes.
There's a lot of concrete, and so a lot of level, well done concrete. So you can have a wheelchair or a scooter, whatever you want. So Jay, welcome to our studio, and goodbye from our studio.
Thank you, Paul.
And we'll see you on the weekend because I'll be at Scandinavian Days.
Awesome.
Myself.
Yep, we will see you around.
Okay. Well, this is KHOY Community Radio, and we're on the Local Talk Show where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've just heard about Scandinavian Days, a major event to usher in the summer in Story City. And in a vastly different mood, we are continuing Memorial Week 2018 by remembering a departed volunteer from KHOI, Tom Flack. And we're going to follow that by a story with a pioneer cemetery in Story City. And we'll be concluding with the tragedy of Santa Fe, Texas, where a Pakistani exchange student was killed in the shooting, and that has some local ramifications for people dealing with exchange students here in Iowa. Let's start with this brief and humorous remembrance of Tom Flack. Now, he died earlier this year, and Tom spent most of his long life as a pharmacist in Ames. He was known for his kindly manner, his philanthropy. He was one of the founding supporters of YSS and consistently a generous donor. And he also enjoyed reading plays and acting. And so when KHOI was getting started, he volunteered to read public service announcements and pledge drive pitches. And in the quote that follows, a quirky introduction to the construction of KHOI's broadcast studios, Tom Flack.
I'm Tom Flack, and when I came to KHOI today, there was a hole in the wall. I asked if it was a puppet theater or a concession stand. I was told, no, it is the window to the new KHOI studio. There is also a new door, a broadcast studio, and there are wall frames for the two production studios and one operations area. I encourage you to come down to KHOI Radio at 410 Douglas in Ames to see for yourself. That's 410 Douglas Avenue in downtown Ames, and you will see community radio happen in Ames.
Thank you, Tom Flack. Thanks, Tom, for what you gave to Ames and what you gave to KHOI. Well, our next memorial is for Sowers Pioneer Cemetery in Story City, and we have Jerry Sowers here in the studio to tell us about it. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning.
Now, tell me how the Sowers Cemetery was founded, date it, and all that sort of thing.
The Sowers Cemetery was founded about 1854, roughly. The Sowers family was one of the first five families in Fairview, Iowa, which was Story City. Now, the story my father tells me that George Sowers had deeded the land in the town of Fairview for the original city cemetery. And George Sowers married Melinda Bracken, which was fine. She was Scandinavian, but he was German.
Oh, no.
And she died, I believe it was childbirth, quite young. And she was, the Scandinavians wouldn't let her be buried in the cemetery that the family, Sowers family, had given in the town of Fairview. So they went out on the back of the Brackens' farm along the Skunk River and started what became the Pioneer Cemetery. There's about approximately 42 graves out there, including a Civil War veteran, Alfred Sowers. And my dad was Clarence Sowers, and he has a little sister, Elma, and a brother, Ralph, buried out there. My great-grandfather, Lindsay Sowers, is buried out there with his wife, Rebecca, and then my great-great-grandfather, Solomon Sowers, is buried out there.
So it really is the Sowers Cemetery, and founded because this person could not be buried in the Scandinavian.
There's a lot of strong feelings in Story City yet, I'll clue you. Now,
that's amazing. So the Sowers Cemetery, locate that for us. If you're coming into Story City or surrounding areas, where is the
Sowers? Well, if you come in from the Story City East and go to River Hills Drive and would go south on that, which would be south of Broad Street, as far as you could go, take a left at that point, and then when you get to as far east you go, take another right, and you'll be able to see it off the cul-de-sac. When Story City developed that land out there, we tried to get an easement into the cemetery. They would not do that because Story City and the cemetery is in Howard Township.
Okay.
And it's a different situation, and they wouldn't appease it. I think they made a big mistake because Story City is going to develop that area someday, and they missed the boat.
So really, there are a lot of issues that come into play with these pioneer cemeteries. And, you know, there's a state association for the preservation of Iowa cemeteries. And the definition of a pioneer cemetery is one where there have been 12 or fewer burials in the past 50 years. So this talks about cemeteries that really are no longer active for new burials. Now, the one I think of is the one that relates to my family, which is the Boer Cemetery, B-O-E, which is up by the Bible camp in Story City. You have to gain access to it through a farmstead. And then, one of the things that a lot of people may not be aware of is that the county has a responsibility to do maintenance. They contract with a neighboring farmer to keep the lawn mowed. When I go all the way up to that Pioneer Cemetery, it's right on the edge of a farm field, and it's way out of the way. You almost have to feel like you're going through a forest to get there. But when I get there, it's well mowed, well maintained, beautiful. My grandparents are buried there. My grandmother was the last burial at Bois Cemetery in 1948. And it's just so nice and moving that these pioneer cemeteries are well kept, and there's actually a statute that really makes that happen, you know, that the cemeteries are well cared for. Are there any issues with the Sauer Cemetery? Is that well kept?
There's a real issue up there because the family went out there. We went out there in 1984, and we spent 484 man-hours cleaning up. You couldn't even find the cemetery. There were trees down all over. And we worked Saturdays after Saturdays, cleaning out, burning brush and everything. And then we replaced the whole north fence and put a gate in. The fence used to be on the north side. Well, it's on the east side now, and the county did give us an easement back through the field to get there.
Has someone contracted to do the mowing and all this upkeep?
I did all the mowing for 22 years, but then it was taken away from me because in 2003 or 4 or whatever, Joel Gabrielson had built a house next to it, and so he'd been telling people for years if they could take the fence out, he could have a bigger backyard. And I went out to mow one day, and the fence was gone. And the corner post had gotten broke by his contractor. They had piled all the dirt on the fence, and then they cleaned it out with a skid loader. And I've got pictures. They just tore that new fence all to pieces.
So there are a lot of issues in some of these cemeteries in terms of who's neighbors and whether things might encroach. And, Jerry, you know, it's been good to talk about this stuff. The cemetery at Sauer's and my family cemetery, the Boer Cemetery north of Story City, these issues are really important. And because they're part of family and history, they're important, and the state recognizes that. And on our website for KHOI, we're going to put some information about these cemeteries and about the State Association for the Preservation of Iowa Cemeteries so that people can go to our website and get information about how to contact this organization, because they might be very helpful to you. And if that occurs and you get satisfaction from them, we're going to talk to you again, see how that came out.
That would be fine.
So Jerry Sauer's, we're talking about pioneer cemeteries, particularly the Sauer Cemetery, and we'll have information on our website about State Association for the Preservation of Iowa Cemeteries. So that's something that any of our listeners who are motivated can check into right on our website. Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome.
The last memorial came to my attention through a Facebook posting from Del Christensen, the executive director of IRIS, Iowa Resource for International Service, which has hosted a wide variety of international visitors from its headquarters in Ames. One of the main responsibilities of IRIS in recent years has been arranging for international exchange students in Iowa high schools. It was through the Iowa exchange students that he and many Iowa exchange students themselves were connected with Sabika, the Pakistani exchange student who was one of those murdered in the school shootings in Santa Fe, Texas. This is what Dell posted beside the picture of the beaming high school student proudly wearing a Texas T-shirt. Words can never truly express the sorrow we feel when a young life is lost. This feeling is compounded exponentially when the life is taken in such a violent and senseless way. When you work with exchange students, you see the hope and dreams of tomorrow in the faces of these young people, and each one of them becomes a part of your global family. The IRIS family, together with all our exchange community family, grieves with the family of Sabika back in Pakistan, as well as with her American host family in Texas. Del, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Del. Could you tell us about the exchange program that brought Sabika to America?
Yes. The exchange program that Sabika was on is called the Kennedy Luger Youth Exchange and Study Program, also known as the YES program. And it's a unique exchange program in that it is funded completely by the U.S. State Department, Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs, and it selects from about 30 different countries at the moment. A little over 900 students come to the U.S. every year. 30 of those students are placed right here in Iowa by IRIS, and they're here for one academic year. So it's a traditional high school exchange experience, but unique in the fact that it's a scholarship program provided by the U.S. State Department and targeting countries with prominent Muslim populations.
Well, this, of course, is a great way for Iowa schools to actually experience the world. Diversity is one of the things that's pretty much lacking in Iowa. As you could tell, we have trouble with between Norwegians and Germans. So, so especially in this time, to actually meet these students, you must have been dealing directly with these students and how they were feeling about this. How do they feel?
The students, even though they're coming from 30 different countries, they all come to Washington, D.C. together at the beginning of the school year, and then they're placed in different schools throughout the U.S. When they heard one student from their organization was killed in Texas, they felt like a part of their family had died. So it was very tragic, very difficult for them, because you would not imagine, as a parent of an exchange student or as a fellow exchange student, to think that you're going off to another country for this exciting year of cultural and educational exchange opportunities, only to be killed in a violent act such as this.
Has there been any suggestion that this will affect the future years of YES?
At the moment, we haven't seen any immediate repercussions as far as students not wanting to come. I have heard from a couple of exchange organizations that when the parents found out where the shooting had occurred, were hoping that their child would not be placed in Texas. But as we well know, it can happen anywhere. And unfortunately, it is occurring more frequently throughout the U.S.
Tracking this yesterday, looking online, I saw that there was at least one count of an average of one school shooting a week since the beginning of 2018.
And these kids come from countries where violence is not uncommon, but they don't expect to come to the U.S. and find it. And so that's been, I think, the biggest surprise for our exchange students and one of the challenges we continue to face.
Well, I'd like to talk about something more positive. You said that most of these students are from Muslim countries. Considering the stand of the current administration, are you running into any difficulties with the government or people who reflect these attitudes?
We haven't yet. The biggest challenge with the new administration seems to be in securing visas for students in a timely manner. And I think part of that has been more a case of staff cuts. But it does concern us when you hear some of the rhetoric that is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. You wonder how much that may trickle down to programs, important programs like this.
And what about the effect of the students on the schools? I presume that's mostly positive. What do you?
And we do the selection of a number of students in a couple of the sub-Saharan African countries, Nigeria and Tanzania. When I select these students, they think that they're the ones that are going to benefit the most from the program. Then I tell them, no, I will tell you right now, it'll be the Iowa high school students who are exposed to another culture that will benefit much more than you will. And it does occur that way every year. So many positive feedback from host families and from the schools. It's just how respectful and helpful and outgoing every one of these kids are. It does the heart good to know that there's good out there, and we can expose some Iowa families and Iowa schools to that good.
I can vouch for the value of that experience, because some 10 years ago or so, we were hosts for several months to Jamil Jamalu from Nigeria. He was a devout Muslim. He set his alarm so that he would wake up for morning prayer. Also, if we were out in the evening, he would look for a place where he could do his prayers. But in every other way, he was just like an American high school student in his enthusiasms. And, of course, incidentally, he turned out to be a fabulous soccer player. I think we've never seen anybody like that at Ames High. So enriching the sports program is not one of the purposes of this. But I noticed Ballard had four exchange students and wrote a little article about them. They listed the sports that they were involved in. So it's a great way to experience American high schools.
It really is. And in Iowa, I'm always impressed at how many exchange students, even the smallest schools, come forward and say, yes, of course, we'll take some exchange students. Because we know that there's some financial implications of taking another student that's not on the state tax roll. But the principals and superintendents I've spoken to, from Ames High to Nevada to Boone to Ballard, have all said, no, the value of that student bringing that diversity to our school far outweighs the cost.
Thank you, Del, for being with us and for your tribute to not only Sabika, but for all the students who come.
Thank you, Susan.
HOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Dennis Hart, Jay Wilcox, Sam Barnes, Scott Johnson, Melissa Askoff, Tom Flack, Jerry Sowers, and Del Christensen.
You can listen to today's local talk show and any of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will find also information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org.
Local Talk was engineered by Jackie Norman. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from the film score for Mary Poppins.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 292-2878, or you can contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know, so contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow Donate button on our website.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.